That was a beautiful scripture reading. Loved hearing the cheers from the crowd in praising, honoring God as we sing together. Do you know that today's going to be a good day? We are having our awesome God meeting, our AGM today. And like as we see in the bulletins, you are encouraged to share a testimony, a one-minute testimony of what's something God has done in your life this past year. It's important that our hearts are full of praise and that we have a testimony on our lips and to share with each other. So that's going to be some of the encouragement in our AGM meeting. And it is good. It's important that we, as dear friends, as the church, have one of these meetings. This is key for functioning in a church in today's age. So this is part of what we're doing. It's so good to see you. Let's plan to have testimonies. Let's praise God with what He's been doing in our lives. In World War I, there were two friends who enlisted together, they trained together, and they fought in the trenches together. Now, there was a surprise attack, and one of the friends was critically wounded and left out on the battlefield. His other friend saw that. He saw the obstacles of barbed wire, the gunfire overhead, and he jumped out of the trenches to go get his buddy. And his sergeant grabbed him by the back, pulled him back in the trenches, and said, "He's gonna die. You can't get him. Leave him. There's no point of going and sacrificing yourself." The sergeant turns around to bark out other orders. His buddy goes right out to him, jumps out. He goes out, and a few minutes later, he returns mortally wounded, carrying his now dead friend back into the trench. His sergeant says, "What a waste. You didn't have to do that." And as the friend replies, as he's dying, he says, "Oh, but Sarge, it was so worth it." Do you know what he said to me when I got there? He said, "Travis, I knew you'd come." Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend sticks closer. No, what's it say? Here, let me get it. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." My question for us is a simple one this morning. What does it mean to be a friend? And this morning, I want us to shoot high. We're not after what is the minimum requirement of a friendship. You want to live out minimum requirements of friendship, by all means, go for it. But this morning, we're talking about friendship at its highest calling, of what we are called to be as friends to one another. This morning, we're looking at a friendship for the ages. A friendship said by one of the companions that it was more meaningful than the love of all women that they had ever experienced. It's a statement of profound love that can be given in the camaraderie of friendship. We're in our 1 Samuel Who's on the Throne series, chapter 18, looking at the friendship of Jonathan and David. And we're starting to move to the second half of the book and the second half of the series. So we've had it read wonderfully to us. And so just recapping, 1 Samuel 18, it says it about Jonathan. His soul was knit to the soul of David. It was knit to the soul of David. There's a metaphor. It said he loved David as his own soul. It said he made a covenant commitment of loyalty, honor, steadfast love. Why? Because Jonathan loved him as his own soul. we see Jonathan sacrificed his best for David. It's seen in the stripping of his armor, of his royal robe, of his belt. And not unrelated, the next verse flows out of it. Reading verse 5. Out of this friendship, David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul sent him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So he's put into many leadership capacities. And like we said, it describes this friendship and then, not unrelated, the results of this kind of friendship. So coming back to what does it mean to be a friend? I was thinking about this in my own journey. What has led to my closest friendships? So I was reflecting about that this week in anticipation of our time together. Well, shared life, passions, interests, and experiences are at the heart of my best friendships. Shared love of people, shared love of events, sports, ministry, topics, favorite TV shows, shared life experiences. I think there's, when it comes to my best friendships, there's an embrace of who I am. And even more so, there's a shared aspect of loving who I love, that they embrace who I love most. I think there's a camaraderie, a back and forth. There's laughter in my best of friendships. There's also deep heart sharing. There's this aspect of sharing who I am, where without filtering, without pretense, without having to perform, a beautiful function of just being able to let your guard down. How would you describe what is key to a friendship for yourself? Would you relate with those things? Would you add anything to that? Coming back to David and Jonathan, there's a phrase that's mentioned twice in these five verses. And it's at the heart of this this morning's lessons and of this passage. Did you see what repeated twice in the scripture? It says, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 1, verse 3. What? He loved him as he loved himself. So what's it mean to be a friend? Friendship is loving others as you would have them love you. It's as simple as that. Friendship is loving others as you would have them love you. I'll be honest, I ripped that off of somebody famous. I'm going to call it the golden yellow rule. Matthew 7:12 says, that phrase sums up everything in the law and the prophets. This is what Jesus said. He said, this is the sum of everything. Love others as you would have them love you. Tim Kimmel, someone who writes really well on parenting, he has this great definition of love. I've shared it before. Love is the commitment of my will to another's needs and best interests, no matter the cost to me. Doesn't that describe friendship at its core? Love is the commitment of my will to another's needs and best interests, no matter the cost to me. The greatest commandments were said to be, love God with your whole heart, with everything you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others the way you'd love like them to love you. So that's the heart of what we see in this passage, and that's the heart of friendship. We're going to draw out a couple different aspects of the implications of that we see in this friend in this friendship for the ages between Jonathan and David. So going to verse 3, friends are loyal. Friends are loyal. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. So out of wanting to love others the way he'd like to be loved, he made a covenant with David, a covenant commitment of loyalty. It was a, hey, if things get bad, I'm going to take off. It's not one of those things. It's no matter what, I'm in it with you. It's a covenant. And what happens, you see in 1 Samuel 20, verse 4, verse 16, they reaffirm the covenant multiple times. Have you ever said to a friend, no matter what happens, I'm sticking close? Do you have friendships like that? If any of you have made the covenant commitment of marriage, that's the epitome of it. No matter what, in sickness and in health, there's a reason we promise it. There's a reason it's not just about the sheet of paper. It's about coming before God, before others, and saying, this promise means something. I'm committing my life to you. With that interest of my commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, no matter the cost. And there will be a cost. We know that. There is a cost to what is great, to the best things of life. There are costs. So in marriage, we commit in covenant together. But have you ever done that with a good guy buddy or a good girlfriend? To say, I'm committed to you. Maybe you have that kind of friendship and you've had it for a long time. Maybe you haven't actually expressed it. Maybe there's going, hey, I heard this message. We were preaching God's word and we looked at this friendship. I just want to tell you, this is what you mean to me. No matter what, I will be there through thick and thin. And then as we say the words, it's really about living it out as well, isn't it? And we see this in Jonathan. Jonathan's loyalty has action to it. King Saul, his dad, wants to kill his best friend. And Pastor Barry's going to be reflecting on this next week. But Jonathan acts as protector. He acts as intercessor on David's behalf. Reminds me of the quote, "They aren't your friends until they have defended you in your absence." That's tough to do. At high school, somebody's making fun of one of your friends. Do you just let it pass? You're in a group setting. Somebody's knocking on maybe your wife, your husband, another really good friend. Do you stand up for them? They are not your friends until they have defended you in your absence. It takes guts. It takes courage. I think that leads us into a transition of the next point. Okay, so friends are loyal. This is an implication of loving others as you'd have them love you. Secondly, friends sacrifice. Friends sacrifice. Verse 4. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him. This was the royal robe of the prince. He stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. Friends give up their rights. I think in the context of marriage, it's often talked about, well, my, you know, 50%, you give 50%, I'll give 50%. There's this giving up of your rights when you commit unconditionally to someone else. And in a world of 50%, 50%, we see the gospel is giving 100%, giving 100%. And that means, because there's times in life where maybe we're operating at 10% capacity, whether we've been incapacitated emotionally, spiritually, physically. There's times where your partner may only be able to give 10%, but it doesn't mean that you match their 10% with 10%. It means that you continue to give your 100%. And if you think about that, if one person in a marriage is limping along and they only have 10% to offer and you're giving 100%, together that marriage is operating at a higher capacity than a 50%, 50% marriage that has all these resources to it. In the same way, your friendships, your friends, maybe in high school or in college, maybe something's happened. This is a huge piece of Freedom Session that we've been looking at, and we've really been digging in, and we've been going, there's things that happen in our lives that hurt us, and that hurt defines us and perpetuates itself, and we want to recognize that, and we want to bring that before Jesus for healing. We want to bring forgiveness in our hearts. We just had a powerful time together Thursday, bring to the cross labels of which we've accepted or have been put on us that we're now freed from, that we don't need to bring with us anymore. But love sacrifices. And this is what we see in Jonathan. Jonathan renounces his position as the crown prince and transfers the rights of succession to the throne to David. David has been anointed as the future heir to the throne by the prophet, but according to the kingly inheritance, he's the next one in line. Instead of holding on to his rights, he sees what God is doing, and he gives up his rights. He sacrifices his power, his privileges, on behalf of his friend. Do you sacrifice for your friends? Here's where it counts in your friendships. Time. Are you willing to sacrifice your time for your friends? Money. Are you willing to spend money on your friends? Energy. Are you willing to give? These are three of the tests of the most of what our resources are, right? Love is the commitment of my will to another's needs and best interests, no matter the cost. But who is our friend? That's the ultimate question they keep asking throughout the scriptures. Yeah, but who's my neighbor? Who do I really have to love? Like, is it just those in my family? Like, how many friends can a person have? And then Jesus talks about loving your neighbor, at loving the stranger, loving anyone you encounter. It's a huge calling to love all those you encounter as friends. Yeah, there is an element where you build trust with people, and friendships take time to develop. And yet there's this call we see in this passage and throughout the scriptures to love others the way you'd want to be loved, to be friends to everyone, really. Isn't that it? But like, wow, that's hard to do. Let's keep going. Let's keep reflecting. Friends are loyal. Friends sacrifice. And thirdly, friends empower. Verse 5. Out of all this, David went out and was successful wherever he was sent. Saul sent him over the men of war, and people saw it everywhere. Friends help us become who we're meant to be. Isn't that a good sign of a friend? When they're not bringing you down. They're not bringing you down into kind of complain mode, into like, yeah, things are awful, or this person's a jerk, or da-da-da-da-da. Friends help us become our highest bar of who we're called to be. One of our girls had a friend over, and what she did really stood out to me because, hey, as a parent, I know something that's best for my girls is doing their homework. And when one of our girls' friends came over, she helped our daughter do her homework. I was like, I like this child. And then not only that, the homework was an identity project. It was on poster board celebrating who my daughter was. And they actually came out to Christina and I, and they unveiled our daughter's identity and what she was good at. And her friend celebrated who she was. And it wasn't about her. She came and helped our daughter. This is a 10-year-old girl. I was like, girl is amazing. And that's who we're called to be. Friends empower each other to be who we're called to be. You have a friend who's loyal to you, a friend who sacrificed himself for you, a friend who's empowering you to be all of who you're called to be. I don't know if you've encountered Jesus, like really encountered him, the living God. Let me read to you about what he says about friendship from John 15. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Jesus shows what kind of friend he is to you and me. Greater love has none than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has modeled sacrifice. He's modeled a new covenant. He's made a covenant to you and to me through his very blood. It cost him dearly. The Son of God. It's not an equal friendship in a way. It's like being friend to the prime minister or the president. You know, you would get a sense of like, this person, I have to engage this person with their authority. And yet you're also brought in humbly and amazingly into an equal friendship. And yet it's not fully equal. And then that doesn't even fully get at what it's like to be a friend of God. And yet Jesus calls us friends. And he says, but here's the test of friendship. Because I'm not just friend, I'm not just a buddy, I'm also your Lord and Savior, God, creator of the universe. You're my friends if you do what I command you. So it's a little bit different. But what's Jesus' kind of love like? Is it authoritarian like we picture authorities of this world? No. What's his command? What did he say at the beginning and the end of this whole thing? My command is that you love. This is what God is all about. I don't know if you've, somewhere along the life, you've got some, I don't know, some expectations set where God isn't good, or he doesn't love, or he's some kind of dictator. God's most clearly revealed who he is when he came here in flesh and blood. And he said, this is the kind of God I am. I'm the kind of God who's loyal to you. I'm the kind of God who will sacrifice for you. I'm the kind of God who's going to call you to be all you're called to be, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. And everywhere where you don't make the bar in our friendship, I'm going to pay the price for it so that your righteousness, wherever you're lacking, will be filled with my righteousness. This is the kind of friend I am. Do you know you're a friend of Jesus? Have you responded to Jesus' friendship? Have you made the covenant back? It goes both ways, right? He's gone ahead. He's done his side of the covenant. You just picture one of them, Jonathan and David, they had to start. Somebody had to start with, hey, here's, I'm going to covenant to you, and the other one would have responded. Jesus has covenanted to you. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. In my own journey of I'd been in these circumstances, traveled in church settings, and then not in church settings. And then there came this point where I recognized I didn't really have an authentic friendship with God. And then so I covenanted back. And it was a covenant. It's quite the covenant because you go, well, actually, you're Lord of my life. I'm going to put you on the throne. Coming back to our series, who's on the throne of your life? So I put him on the throne, and it changed my life forever. And all of a sudden, I got access to this power that I never had in my life, and really to the love that I never had in my life. And God's not done with me yet. And I know there's so many ways that I need to continue to grow to treat each and every one of you with the kind of love that God loves me as a friend. Because this is how we're supposed to treat each other as the church. Beloved, did you hear Mike refer to the scriptures that have been taught to us a few weeks before? We're to love each other in such a way that reflects that you're the beloved of God and you're the beloved of each other as brothers and sisters in the church. When we make a covenant to God, we make a covenant to his family. Just like it's no good if you covenant in marriage to your bride or your husband, but then say, I don't like your family. You know, what's that say? You're not truly loving those who are at the center of the heart of your beloved. And so, the scriptures, as we reflected, the words beloved and dear friends are interchanged. And depending on your translation, because they're going, well, some of you beloved really hits home, and others it's like, what is that word? That's kind of a weird word. We're going to go with dear friends, because this is the heart of what it means to be beloved, is dear friends. We're to call each other dear friends. We see it throughout the New Testament. Paul saying, Romans 16, 8-9, greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my beloved Stachys. 1 John 4, 7-8, beloved. And another translation says, dear friends, church, dear friends, let us love one another. Why? Because love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. Friends, let me ask you, do you love the people sitting in the chairs amongst us? Do you treat as dear friends those who aren't just those who you connect with really easy? This is the call. We put it in our vision statement. What's it say? We seek to follow Jesus. What's the next line? Somebody help me. What's it say? As a unified, spirit-filled body of believers. Thank you. You were friends to me right there. As a unified, spirit-filled body of believers, we're saying going forward, there's no room for judgment. Not amongst us, towards each other, or going out from us. There's no room for saying, hey, I invited them over, and they never returned the favor, so I'm going to write them off. Or this person said this. They're one of the bad guys now. There's no room for that. There's no room for it. Or I spent money on this person. Does that mean you stop being a friend if they don't spend money back? Is that why you love? So that you'll get it back? No, dear friends, we love others the way we want to be loved, no matter what the cost. Not all friendships are equal partnerships, But we're called as the church to love like Jesus did. This is his command. Christ died for you and me. He died for the church. He died for the world. He shed his blood for us. He describes the church as his bride. Do you love the church as the bride? Do you love us that much? I think there's some things in our hearts that we need to repent of. Some ways where we've been hurt by each other. Maybe somebody said something that's gotten away, done something that's gotten away. We need to let that go. To live out our highest calling. To be the friends we're called to be. It's a high calling. And yet we've got an incredible friend, the model who shows us the way. And let me just say thank you for all the many, many ways where you've been a friend to me, where you've been a friend to my family, where you've been a friend to my church family. The ways that you have blessed those around me blesses me incredibly. And it's a love that is not supposed to just stay in these walls. It's a love that's supposed to go forth. Tell you what, if we continue to live out Jesus' teachings, if we continue to be Spirit-filled believers, inviting God to empower us, Quesnel's going to notice. The caribou is going to notice. The world's going to notice. Because what they're really looking for is dear friends who will love them the way they want to be loved. That's the call. Can you imagine what it was like for that World War I friend to show up and get his buddy? And when his buddy said, "Travis, I knew you would come for me." Those were his last words. He was like, it was worth it. Do we love our friends, our church, the way that that body loved his body? Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what it's going to be like one day after all is said and done on this world? We're going to go and we're going to be in eternity. And Jesus, our friend, is going to come up to us. We're going to see the nail scars in his hands, and we're going to look into his eyes. And he's going to say, "Friend, thank you for loving those I love in the way that you wanted to be loved. I'm so proud of you, friend. Come share eternity with me." Let's respond in prayer. Jesus, you are a friend that we bow to.